Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Aaron Neville there. It is a happy day. Wow, what a beautiful song, man, by a legend from the Neville brothers.
You're tuned into Spectrum on 657 AM.
And then we said towards 20 past we will be talking. And of course, we will be talking to Mr. Sandile Swana. And I'm happy that I looked at my cell phone, because in my cell phone, I understand, talk to him, Utatu Sandile Swana, at 5:20. When I look into the script, it says 5:40. Man, I'm happy. I'm happy I understand that. All right. He's on the line, Mr. Sandile Swana, governance specialist, lecturer at Wits Business School, and media commentator, continues with our series Governance in the Church. This conversation continues and with governance specialist and academic and media commentator, Mr. Sandile Swana, who has been sharing insights on governance in the church. And this week, we continue with conversations focusing on the accountabilities for leaders and the authority looking at the story of David and Nathan. Mr. Sandile Swana, welcome, sir. Greetings to you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ray, and good evening, I suppose, to the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
Oh, yes. It's already evening when it's winter. it's already evening. There's no late afternoon. No, it's an evening already. I understand. You are a media commentator, and you are also an academic and a governance specialist. And you are looking at the accountability for leaders and those in authority, looking at the story of Nathan and David. Over to you. What comes to mind with governance and authority for leaders in the church these days?
Thank you. And I think that as you elaborate on this, I think I need to remind our people that, you know, we say we are the church. We are not only the church when we are in church.
Yeah.
We are the church when you are at work as a mechanic, when you are at work as a nurse, as a police officer. So our conduct, really, and how we approach things should be consistent throughout.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I wanted to zero in on this concept of accountability. Earlier on, I explained to the listeners that accountability is one of the 8 elements of good governance. And then one author defines accountability in this way. Accountability, being accountable, simply means being responsible for decisions made, decisions taken, and assignments completed. So you are answerable for the decisions that you have made, the actions taken, and the assignments you've completed. Now, there is a quotation I would like to share from one of the early leaders of formation of the United States of America and so on. I think his name was Thomas Paine. He said that a body of men holding themselves accountable to nobody ought not to be trusted by anybody. So if you are you don't consider yourself to be accountable to anybody, then really nobody should trust you. When you take up office, any office, you must look around you, all around you, and identify the critical stakeholder to whom you must account for all the resources, for all the people and opportunities entrusted to you.
Yes.
You are a steward of the quality of decisions, the quality of the actions and the results, and you must give a proper and full account about your actions.
Yeah.
So now what we are then saying is that there are layers of accountability. If I say to you, look around 360 degrees.
Yes.
It means there are potentially different stakeholders that you are going to be accountable for.
Yeah.
The first stakeholder, we are accountable to God.
Yes.
And our consciences must guide us all the time.
Yeah.
And there's no shortage today in South Africa of people who will tell you to ignore the conscience, or will tell you that don't tell us you have a conscience. We don't work with consciences here.
Yeah.
So Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that when I was a student at the University of Pretoria Business School,
yes,
we had a professor there, Professor Harry Wood, and he said to us as MBA students, chaps, good fellows, when you make decisions in the organizations that you lead, also consider the eternal consequences of your decisions.
Yeah.
Don't only consider what happens here on earth, but consider the potential judgment of God regarding the decisions that you are making.
So
let us look at another one, another scriptural basis on this business of being accountable to God. So we're saying there are a few stakeholders. God is one of them. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph saw himself as being accountable to God regarding all things.
Yes.
All people and all opportunities placed under his care.
Mm-hmm.
So his conscience was guiding him. Everything had to agree with the word of God, or it would not be done. Even if highly influential people demanded action contrary to the word of God, Joseph would not do that. He would still adhere to the word of God. Let us then look at an example. The wife of Potiphar, at the boss of David at work, comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, please, can you have sex with me? So this is Joseph's answer, Genesis 39, verse 9. No one is greater in this house than I am. That is Joseph speaking. My master has withheld nothing from me except you.
Yeah.
Because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? So, Joseph is not worried about impressing this lady. He's not even worried about impressing his master. He's asking the question, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? The person that I do not want to offend is my God. So you might be holding a higher status than me in life, but you cannot persuade me, even with the most appealing enticement, to violate my relationship with my God. So the conscience is very good in accountability, because that accountability is between you and God. Another one that we must consider is that we must account to each other.
Yes.
It says here, James 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. In other words, and people these days have got the concept of privacy, and they've got the promotion of access to information act and other things that they quote. But the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. There's no privacy.
Yeah.
You need to be able to say, yes, I think I've made a mess here. Pastor Ray, I've made a mess here.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it? Ayanda, I've made a mess here. Can we talk about it? So, even the Apostle Paul had to give an account of his apostleship and doctrine to the other apostles, including James and Peter, so that all agreed, all the apostles agreed that he was not in error. So our decisions, actions, and results must be evaluated by the correct people here on earth. God directed Paul to account to the apostles and be properly accepted by them as one of them. You remember that Paul was not one of the original 12 or even the second 12. Because you remember Judas died and they appointed Matthias. So he is joining now as an apostle like you and me, basically. People who are not there originally.
Yeah.
So there was a revelation given to Paul by God to say, go and have this type of engagement with those apostles. Go and talk to them about what I've said to you and what I've asked you to do and what I've asked you to teach. And let it be, in essence, approved as part of the doctrines of the church.
Yes.
Then it says in Galatians 2, verse 1 to 8, what time are we finishing, by the way, so that I don't get carried away?
I think I'll give you 10 more extra minutes.
10 more minutes, okay. Then after Paul says, we're reading Galatians, Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response. Listen to this. I went in response to a revelation.
Yeah.
And meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles.
Yeah.
I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain.
Yes.
So Paul got a revelation from God. He didn't take the attitude that, in fact, he got the revelation of the gospel from God. Two, he got a revelation that he must go and meet these apostles.
Yeah.
He was not arrogant enough to say, after all, what I've got is the genuine stuff. I got it from God. I mean, which man is going to correct me? So Paul went to meet those guys, remember, the likes of James and so on in Jerusalem, and presented to them. And instead, they listened to him, and then they realized, it says in verse 7, on the contrary, they recognized that I've been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised.
Yes.
For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle.
Yes.
He said there is absolutely nothing to add to my gospel, but they realized that my ministry was different from that of Peter.
Yeah.
So they accepted him. But the point we are making here is that you must be accountable to other human beings. We said you must be accountable to God, but you must also be accountable to other properly appointed human beings here on earth. Another benefit that you get from accountability is that being accountable makes us stronger. Proverbs 27:17. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron so that one man sharpens another.
Yeah.
So which means we look, as we share between you and me, we're looking at the quality of the decision-making process. We're looking at the quality of the implementation. How good are you with your implementation? And the quality of the result—that's what I'm talking accountability about. Now, another thing that has another usefulness of accountability: when you run an accountable show, accountability can help us to neutralize our enemies. In Daniel 6:4, it says, "At this, the chief ministers and such have tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so." It says here, they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Imagine how many people in the public space today say, "Hi, They are digging up dirt on me for political reasons. But the Bible says when they were digging up dirt on Daniel, they found nothing. Hmm. Because he was neither corrupt nor negligent in his way.
Yeah.
So, what are the benefits of accountability that we can talk about? Accountability builds trust. When we have accountability, everybody knows where we are. They know where we are going. They also know whether we're still on the plan.
Yeah.
It is this certainty that builds trust, that openness and willingness for books and reports to be scrutinized, that builds trust. So trust is not something that falls out of the sky.
Mm.
It is out of your own behavior.
Mm.
Accountability improves performance. Accountability eliminates the time and effort you spend on distracting activities and other unproductive behavior.
Mm.
When you have to report to proper stakeholders on time and in a comprehensive and clear manner, then energy and time becomes focused on clear progress and outcomes.
Yes.
Now, the last thing I want to say about this, this thing, it says accountability promotes ownership. So, when you make people accountable for their actions, you're effectively teaching them to value their work. People have clear deliverables, quality standards, and timeframes. They become properly enlisted and enrolled on the task and project at hand. The Bible calls this the mind of work. In Nehemiah 4:6, it says, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was burnt together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work."
Yeah.
The people had a mind. So their minds were caught up with the work.
Mm-hmm.
They were allocated sections to do. It was clear what they had to do. And the last thing I will say, that we don't steal too much of your time.
Mm-hmm.
The same idea that people must own the work. It says here, Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might.
Yeah.
In the realm of the dead, where you are going, there's neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. In Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So whatever work that we do, it must be a work of very high standard, and it must pass a stringent test. And we must say, I've done this work as if I'm doing it for God, and it is God who must pass it, and it must have a standard of excellence, because I'm accountable to God, and I'm also accountable to human beings. Mm. Let me stop there for
today. Wow. Thank you so much, Mr. Sandile Swana, Governance Specialist Lecturer at Wits Business School and media commentator who spoke about governance in the church. Thank you so much, sir. Looking forward to hearing from you. I'll be listening when Ayanda comes back to interview you. What a wisdom. May you continue to bless the nation, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Right, beautiful it is. This is Spectrum.
You're tuned into Spectrum on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life. a winning team on the road to eternity.